This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
All right, let me read something real quick. Romans 8, 6 and 7 real quick says, actually it's, I'll start with verse 5, says, those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things. But those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. And that's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. It's saying an awful lot in there. We won't get into all of those things, but when he's talking about where our focus is, you know, the whole thing about where your focus goes, the energy flows, you know, you see a commercial about pizza, and all of a sudden your mind and the chemistry of your body starts turning towards pizza. And if you keep focusing on it, you know, you'll start working out ways to get pizza. And that's kind of how our brains work. And he talks about, you notice he didn't talk about our behavior as much, because our behavior and our feelings originate in our mind, in our thoughts. And when we're talking about being led by the Spirit, I think I confuse it, make it really complicated. I think it can be a very simple thing, like what she's talking about. One example I like is the hand squeeze signal between my wife and I, you know. We'll be at the table, and I'll be talking about all the wonderful things on my mind. And all of a sudden, they'll get a little squeeze, you know, a little hand squeeze. And I know what that squeeze means. You know, it means shut up. You know, you're talking too much. And I can ignore it. I can ignore it. You know, no, I think everyone's just filled with great wonder and joy at all my words, you know. And just blow right by the hand squeeze. And I can actually feel the quenching of the Spirit. Like, this quenching of the Spirit talks about we do to the Holy Spirit. It's like, you know, throwing a bucket of water on a fire, you know, just quenching it. And you can actually feel that with her when I just ignore something she's saying. And then on the ride home, you know, I can see her face looking at me and I can just ignore it and keep driving. And I can even get up the next day and go on until finally I'll break and say, okay, let's talk about the hand squeeze. You know, I ignored it. I blew it off. And we talk about what that meant, what was so important about it. We feel like, you know, we're getting old. Like, when I even mentioned that kind of thing, we feel like we're getting old because we started making, like, real pleasure sounds when we sit down. You know what I mean? Like, we go... So to take a shortcut, basically we have two minds. We have the mind of the flesh, the old nature, the sin nature, and we have the mind of the Spirit. And many of us have things that we don't know we have, you know, in our garage or wherever. And the Scripture tells us we have the mind of Christ. You know, Diva, you have the mind of Christ now operating in you. And if we know we have it, we can use it. If we don't know we have it, we might not even use it. So I wanted to take a couple of things and just contrast really quick. The mind of the flesh versus the mind of the Spirit. Just to kind of point it out, maybe some of these things will hit home. The mind of the flesh sees things a certain way, and the mind of the Spirit also does. So let's just take our perception. You know, how we see things, our perspective on things. The mind of the flesh, how does the mind of the flesh see God or the cross? The mind of the flesh sees the cross when that person who's an unbeliever or the believer that is looking through the mind of the flesh sees the cross as foolishness. Like, are you serious? The guy on the cross, he's saving the world? No, don't think so. That's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. I actually heard a guy saying this week, that I'm supposed to look to him for hope. He doesn't look very hopeful up there, you know. And to them, it was like big ha-ha. Foolishness. Mind of the flesh. The mind of the spirit. How does he see the cross? The mind of the spirit looks at the cross, and we see the wisdom of God. Just magnificence. Just, it's so much the wisdom and love and power of God. It's just mind-blowing. You want to see power? You want power? Spirit power? What did God do with his power and wisdom? He hung on a cross. Wow. He said, you want to see power? I'll die for you. I'll die in your place if you want to see what I do with my authority and my power and in my wisdom. I will hang on a cross for you. That's power. That's real power. Mind of the Spirit sees the cross as wisdom. And he is our eternal Father. Okay, what is my perspective on myself? And through the flesh, the mind of the flesh sees ourselves as a human being, as in Adam, so to say, you know, born from generation after generation, my grandfather, his father, his father, his father. That's how I see myself. And I see myself in relation to the world, definitely the spirit world, you know, in the flesh as the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the tree we are not supposed to eat out off of, but that's what we see as how I'm going to live my life. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is basically the tree of what is right and wrong. You know, you go to the schools, we go to the schools, Kennedy goes there and brings a really solid message to the kids. And what do we see all over the walls of the schools and the hallways, their bulletin boards? It's just a giant, I was telling my wife, this is a giant fruit salad picked fresh from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because what they're saying is we don't need a relationship with God. I don't need God or his spirit or anything he offers. All I need is to know what is right and wrong on my own. What I know to be right and wrong. My own knowledge of good and evil. And the bulletin boards are full of it. Do what's right. Be proud. Help others. You know, it's all self stuff. Looks good. All from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It's like when I tried to hook this sound system up, you know, learn how to do it. This amp thing wasn't working right, and I followed the cord, and I had it plugged into itself. It would have been a miracle if it would have worked. And so that's what we do with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We're plugged into ourselves, thinking that's going to work. The mind of the spirit, how do I see myself? I see myself as a son of God. Has been given authority, just like what Kennedy was talking about. I have a new name. I have a new history. I have a new future, and I definitely have an inheritance. That's the mind of the spirit. All right, how do I see others? The mind of the flesh, I see other people as competition. You make me feel good about me when I'm above, bad about me when I'm below, and I'm jealous of your success. That's the mind of the flesh at work. And boy, it's there, especially in ministry. You know, oh, the Holy Spirit was moving over in this church. And you're like, the mind of the flesh is like, ah, oh, drats. What about here? You know, what about us? Didn't you hear Diva's testimony here? Who's here? And there's always that. That jealousy. Like there's not enough to go around, you know. It's limited. And man, it's over there right now. Oh, what a bummer. The mind of the spirit sees others as loving them. I love them. That's my brother. That's my sister. I love them. I celebrate their success. You know, and one of the ways to combat that whole ministry jealousy or anything that way is to pray for them. Invest in them. Promote them. You know, do everything you can to push for their success. I mean, it's completely the way to do it. When a person is soaked in the love of God, you know you're loved, you have nothing to prove. You have nothing to prove. How do I see trials? The mind of the flesh, I see trials as condemnation. You know? Oh, what did I do? Must have been my past life. You know? And if you believe in reincarnation, then, you know, welcome back. Welcome. My karma must be catching up to me. You know, that whole thing. But in the mind of the spirit, we see trials as what? Pruning. He's focusing me. You know, he's pruning me down for strength, for the next run is going to be better. He's testing me. He's establishing me into his ways. He's refining me. He's disciplining me. You know, anyone here ever need or meet the discipline of God? Yeah. Yeah. Right here. It's good stuff. It's good for you. All right. Really quick. We'll go through one more. And then I think everyone gets the idea here. The mind of the flesh, what about our attitude? Our attitude about God in the mind of the flesh is rebellion. Don't tell me, you know, get those commandments out of here. We shaking our fist. I know the way. The mind of the spirit is submission. The mind of the spirit is, I admitted I am powerless. I can't manage my own life. And I make a decision to turn my will and life over to his care. It's just bathed in humility and being humble. My attitude about myself is, now this is the mind of the flesh. My attitude about myself, I'm worthless. But I will have worth if I can get that job. You know, I will have worth if I can land the trophy wife. You know, if I can be looking good, then I'll have worth. Right now I'm worthless, but I will have it if. And you could fill in the blank with a myriad of things. That's where we said, I admitted I'm powerless over, and you could just fill in the blank with whatever it is. My attitude about myself in the spirit is I am worthy. Because he has made me worthy. You ever met someone that is like really somebody in this world? Like a celebrity? I actually met a duke, you know, once. I worked for a duke for a weekend. I don't even know what a duke is, you know. What is a duke? But I worked for a duke for a day. Duke for a day. And he told me he had never worked a day in his life. You know, he was just sitting there in his dukeness. You know, being a duke. But he didn't have to do anything or prove anything or whatever. He was a duke. You know, it's who he was. He saw himself as worthy, right? And that's who we are. You know, I'm not what I do. I'm not what I feel, what I think. I am who God says I am. I've been made a son. That's powerful. Okay, how do I see other people in the mind of the flesh? I see other people as people to manipulate. You know, how can I get you to do what I want so that it'll make me look or feel good? Right? I'm manipulating people, you know, for my plan. This stuff we fight all the time. You know, this is the big deal about whenever we're really frustrated with someone is I have to ask myself, am I manipulating or is this ministry? You know, what are you doing, Stan? Feels like you're manipulating. So, the mind of the spirit, it is ministry. You're loving people. Not trying to control them. All right, how do I see trials? What's my attitude about trials? In the mind of the flesh, this is a big one for the people with addiction. People like me, in trials as an addict, I see myself as a victim. That is the biggest problem that I personally see in Fairbanks with the alcoholism and addiction that is just filling the town is the victim mentality. And right when you're a victim, what comes knocking right behind it, self-pity. It's right there instantly. You know, oh, I got hurt. Oh, poor me. You know, It's so huge, man. I make myself sick at how fast I'll go into self-pity. That really hurt my feelings, what they said. Oh, this always happens to me. Oh, this is my lot in life. Pretty soon I'm just laying there, you know, in this puddle of quicksand. Just poor, poor me. And I want to be validated in my pain. You know, I don't want to just lay there. So I have to constantly retell my tale of woe. It is very sad. Did I tell you what happened to me when I was three? Do you know? Have I told you when I was three? Did I tell you that? I'm constantly having to retell everyone so they'll know why I'm laying here. Because it's sad, right? Self-pity just reeks with addiction. I mean, God so much had to get that out of me. Stand, knock it off. Stop being a victim, giving in to self-pity. It's a big one. So how do we see trials in the Spirit? We see trials in the Spirit as victorious. Look at the apostles. Unbelievable, right? Oh, you're going to kill me? Awesome. I'll be with God. I can't lose. Oh, you're not going to kill me? I live for God. Yes. Awesome. Oh, you're going to take all my stuff and strewn it out in the front yard? Awesome. I've been counted worthy to suffer for God. Yes. Oh, I get to keep it? I'm going to give it to the ministry and pour it out for others. Yay, I can't lose. I live for you. I die for you. You know, what do you do with someone that can't lose? I mean, these guys were so awesome. You know, they couldn't lose. They knew it. What do you do when you know you can't lose? You can't touch them. And what do you think they thought of Jesus on the cross? He's losing, right? I mean, look at him on the cross. He's losing. The whole town's laughing at him. He's losing. Clearly he's losing, right? Look at him, right? Naked, beat to death, all his buddies left, all of his friends run from him. He's losing. Was he losing? Things aren't always what they appear. They're only how God says they are. They are what God says they are and how he sees things. Was he losing? He was pulling off the greatest victory on planet Earth that we've ever seen and ever will see right there while everyone was convinced, and I would be too if I were there, that he was losing. You think you're losing right now? Anybody? Feel like a loser? Oh, you're losing. Oh, look at my bank account. I'm losing. Look at my hairline. I'm losing. You're like, no, Stan, you really are losing. That's real. When you think you're at this point where you are losing, be careful because it's coming. You're right smack on the brink of a powerful breakthrough of what God will do through that. And I'll just end by saying this. There is a hard way and an easy way to do this spirit life. You know, what we want. There's people in the spiritual life that I want what they have. I want to do what they're doing. I want to be the way they are. I want that level. And there's a hard way and an easy way. I wonder how many of us could run every bit of a step of a marathon right now if we all said, go. And we just took off running. I wonder how many of us, probably some of us in here could do it. I couldn't do it. What if we tried super hard, right? I mean, what if you tried super hard? You know, sometimes we tried the spirit life and we want to walk with God. And we think, maybe if I just try really hard, I'm going to be able to do it. That's actually the hard way. To go out and try really hard to run a marathon, that's the hard way. You know what the easy way is? Today, run half a mile. Right? Eat some carbs. Rest. Run a mile the next day. Wait a couple days. Rest. Run 2 miles. Rest. Run a mile. At the end of a year, I'll bet you most of us, a lot of us, give us a year, we could run a marathon. We could do it. That's the easy way, right? What if I want to play Bach on the piano? Just something awesome, you know, where I'm like, you know? The hard way is to try super hard. Like, what if I just said, you know, maybe I'm not trying hard enough? That's the hard way. You know what the easy way is? Start playing scales. Start reading notes. Start visualizing myself doing it, going over and over and over and over. Layer by layer, layer by layer. I bet you by the end of the year, I still couldn't play it. No. I just know that in this culture, and I'm talking to me here big time, is we're used to making our order, pulling up to the window, and getting our bag, and leaving. And I'll tell you what, God does not operate that way. He just doesn't. He's a great help me God, help me, help me. He'll do that. He's awesome. He's amazing. But when it comes to the deep stuff of God, I'm talking about being a warrior for Christ, really walking in the things of God. He is not a order here, pick it up at the window kind of guy. Because what happens to me is I make my order, I pull up to the window, and he says, oh, you want to eat with me? Come on in. We'll grow the herbs together. Here's some seeds. Here's a little calf. We're going to raise this calf together for the steak. Let's go find pasture. Let's grow the vegetables. Let's spend some time together. Come on in. Let's hang out. It's like, it'll be 5 years before this thing is ready. Yep. Come on in. Relax. Spend some time with me. Let's make this together. Let's start chopping some stuff up. Let it simmer. Let's make a real meal together. And this is what he wants from me. This is what he wants from all of us. It's none of this quick order. Pick it up. Just give me my answer. You got the answer or not? Yes, no, yes, no. You got the answer or not? Okay. You know, that's my attitude often. In the things of God, the things of the Spirit. And he's like, no, 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 no. Come on in. Come on in. Let's spend some real time together. I mean real time. Give me all of your time. Does this make sense? I think when we're talking about knowing what God is up to in Fairbanks and being able to pray with people and see his power and watch his miracles and see things happen around us, there's a hard way and there's an easy way. I think when I'm talking about really spending time with the Lord, I think that's the easy way. Because I'm really tired of the hard way. It has not worked. I want to see real power come out of my life. Did you know I've seen real power, little tiny bits of it come out of my life in the last couple years? Real power. Because you know what real power looks like? When I've actually chose to love my family over me and do something that was sacrificial for someone else. And God says, Stan, that's real power. That's real authority when you can love people. That's amazing. That's a cross-shaped life. All right, let me pray. Lord, thank you for everyone's patience tonight. Thank you for our family. We're a wonderful tribe. And I just pray that we would ponder on these things the way that you are and really, really spend some time with you, just looking at you and spend time with you, not being religious, but spend time with our Father and get to know you, what you call power, what you call authority, what you call life. Maybe we need to redefine some of these things. And I pray we would do it in your presence, not in a hurry, but just really, really spend time with you, unhurried. And that we would emerge with the ability to love people. real love. Real love. And I just thank you for that. Give us that ability this week. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.